Looking incredibly beautiful, not that you don't normally, but you're looking even more beautiful today. Hello to our on at home or mobile, our mobile church that's out there today. I was just thinking, Kerri-Anne, you were talking about the word hallelujah. And the word hallelujah quite literally means praise God. And you know the cool thing about the word hallelujah is it's the same in every language. There's no definition into another language for hallelujah. It crosses boundaries. It's an incredible word. I only know this because I watched a TikTok on it during the week and I learned something through the power of TikTok. So hallelujah, hallelujah. It is a powerful word it is a word that I've been thinking about during the week. Today's sermon is called Fired Up, Ready to Go. I'm glad I got that response. Kerri-Anne almost preached my whole sermon from behind the keyboard this morning, which is fabulous, which means it's from the Holy Spirit, which is great. Let's pray and then we'll get into the message that God's given me today. Well, Father God, we are fired up and we are ready to go. And we love you, we praise you, we worship you, we honor you, we give you all the glory. We sing hallelujah to you. We shout hallelujah as we pray. And Lord, we just put all of our stuff aside. We want to listen for you today. We want you to speak into our hearts, speak into our futures that you have written for us. We glorify you, we praise you, and we gather together in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, week two of the year. Has everyone had a good year so far? I've had a terrible year. Thank you for asking. I've had staff dramas, I've had stuff at work, but it's been kind of cool because this whole time I have been fired up and ready to go. Fired up and ready to go. I'm going to be preaching out of Acts 2 today. You may have heard of Acts 2 if you're a Pentecostal churchgoer. I wanted to start the year... This microphone's a little bit echoey. Sorry if we can just fix that. I wanted to start the year this year out of Acts 2 because we are very much an Acts 2 church. That is, Acts 2 is the day of Pentecost. I want to give a bit of context around the day of Pentecost before I start preaching. I'm wrestling with this pole again. I really want to take those chairs away. I'm pole dancing, Leonie. Thank you. Inappropriate, Lonesy. So here's the thing I love about the day of Pentecost. So Jesus has gone back to heaven. He had died on the cross. He had been buried. He had been resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the really cool thing. And it's in the book of John. It's just before the book of Acts, if you don't know the order of your Bible. And at the very end of the book of John, and Peter Swift, you know this better than most because you've done some great studies on the book of John. One of the last lines he says, and Jesus did so many other things that if we were to write them all down, there wouldn't be enough libraries in all the world to contain all of the things that he did. And it's one of my favorite lines in the Bible, but it's also one of the most frustrating lines for me because I'm like, FOMO, I want to know. I want to know what it was. I want to know all the things. I want to watch that mini series. You know, Reacher is good, but that would be better, right? All of the things. It must have been so great in those times. It must have filled the disciples with so much confidence to have seen and witnessed all of the things. See, and then I look at what happens after the day of Pentecost. So after the day of Pentecost, the disciples are there and they go out and they start preaching, they're building the church, right? And it's like, oh, thank goodness we have the disciples to teach us all of the things that Jesus did, but then they start getting killed off, right? So they're like, well, we better write everything down. So they wrote everything down and that's the New Testament that we have today, right? So this is why the book of Acts is so important. And we look at this title here, Fired Up. So why did I do this? So there's two things. First thing is, it's an attitude. Second thing is, flame of the Holy Spirit, right? So that's what I'm referring to when I'm saying fired up. So today's about, we're talking about the Holy Spirit today. Just so you know, if you're taking notes, We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. So when I'm talking about being fired up, I'm not talking about in the sense of Tony Robbins, right? It's not a Tony Robbins sermon. We're not going to be like, oh, it's all about your attitude and all about the kind of... It's not that, right? I'm not a 7-foot-tall, large-handed giant. I'm not going to be doing that today. But I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? Great. Ready to go? I'm talking about discipleship. All right, so on the day of Pentecost, there was a whole heap of people that were gathered, and there was a whole heap of people that were gathered outside, and there was like a town kind of like Moona, right, with about the same amount of people, and that's how come so many people were added to the church in those days, because they saw and heard what happened as it was happening. They witnessed it, and they were like, oh my gosh, I've got to get me some of that. Like and subscribe, and then they became the church, right? Does everyone know that story? Yep, cool. Just front row or everyone else? So I'm one of those preachers that I require feedback. So I really like if you agree with what I say and it's in the Bible and you know it's true and in the inspired word of God, I like an amen from time to time. That's good. Dan, if you shout out, that's good. Grant, from time to time. I want us to start this year different as a church. And this sermon's really important for that because it's about how we do things together. Because the first thing the disciples did was gathered, right? And they didn't gather and sit silently. And somewhere in this sermon today, I'm talking about the consumer church versus the interactive church, whether we're sitting here and watching TV or whether we're being part of what's going on. So you're actually part of the words on the page here today. You're actually part of the message. You're part of the sermon. Is that okay? Yeah. Great. So if I ask a question, you can guarantee it's not rhetorical. Guaranteed. Thank you, Dora. Awesome. But here's the other thing, and I was thinking about this as well because I'm an empathetic chap. I am. And if you see a sermon title and it's fired up and ready to go and you're like, oh, Grant's preaching, he's always so positive and he's always, nothing ever gets him down and oh, it's one of those things, but he doesn't know what's going on in my world. I wrote this. When you are tired, anyone? Wow. I got like 5 pages here. When you're tired, when you're run down, feeling helpless, feeling hopeless, when you or someone you love has been sick for a long time, or when your finances never seem to recover, when that person or people you've been praying for over months and years, they don't see change, they don't see breakthrough, when addiction doesn't break off your life, when those you love the most leave you, either through death or through some other means. You could be forgiven in those moments for losing hope, feeling helpless, or at the very least, feeling a little flat and discouraged. Am I talking to anyone here today? You are human. If you're taking notes, Dale, you are human. When you are going through some very real stuff in your life and you see a sermon title like this and a person like me preaching, you might not think this message is for you. It is very much even more for you today. Very much, comma, even more. So if you're taking notes, write down, this is for me. If you're not taking notes, say it out loud, this is for me. This is for me. You can turn to the person next to you if you want and say, this is for you, because it's true. This is absolutely for you. I'm going to give you a recap. This is from Acts 2. I'm starting at the beginning of Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were, if you're highlighting, all together in one place. Everyone say, all together. They were all together, and you said it all together. That reminds me of a joke from Flying High, but I won't go there. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Not some of them, each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And I pause there for a second. As the Spirit enabled them, not as they enabled themselves, as the Spirit enabled them. Really important distinction. Now, that were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Just picture it for a moment. Imagine the tension. Imagine the marketplace. Imagine the conversations in the street. Imagine all the different clothing that was being worn that helped people to identify who they were. Imagine all the different languages, the different currencies, the different foods, the different flavors. Just imagine for a moment. I want to put you here. Bless you. When they heard this sound, it's the best place to sneeze in church. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear him declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Pause for a second. Hallelujah. That's a word that's heard in all tongues. Just put that one in your pocket. Wasn't going to be part of the sermon, but Kerry Ann brought it up. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. If you're taking notes, highlight this next bit. Then Peter stood up. I can't tell you just how much that one line jumped out at me. And we're going to talk about that today. Then Peter stood up with the 11. Because I imagine Peter stood up because he was the leader. Peter stood up and the others went, oh, we're going to stand up as well. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Which, if you went camping with us over New Year's, wouldn't mean much. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So then Peter takes you back to the one source of truth, right? He takes us back to the Word of God. And he says, and this is so important, we're going to talk about all of this today. In these last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. That's you. That's why I got you to say this is for me today. That's why I got you to turn to your neighbor and say this is for you, okay? It wasn't to be trite. It wasn't to be cute. It wasn't to be kitsch. It wasn't to get people working together or anything like that. It was so you remember this bit, right? I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. We're going to talk about that today as well. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. We've had sermons on that before. I'm not going to go into that one today, but I will later in another sermon. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. And we're going to talk about prophesying today a little bit. Yeah? I will show you wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. I'm so stoked for this sermon. I hope you are too. I really hope. If you're not taking notes today, I want you to go back and watch this again and take notes, because I really think this is important for this year. So here we are. Why is it so hard for the church at times to feel like they can do what Peter did? What am I talking about? He stood up. He stood up. He didn't have to. See, here's the thing. His rabbi, this, imagine how weird life was for the disciples. His rabbi was dead on a cross, nailed to a cross, flogged, whipped, beaten, torn apart, and crushed in, with every part of awfulness that you could possibly think. He watched his rabbi, who he loved, get nailed to a cross and murdered by the enemy, by the Romans at the time, right? Imagine that happened to Pastor Dave. We'd be a bit upset. Then, 3 days later, Pastor Dave comes back in like nothing's happened, looking better than ever, in a white Deus Ex Machina t-shirt. Hair all nice, beard all trimmed, smelling good. We'd think that was pretty amazing, wouldn't we? And then we go out to the main street of Moona, and Pastor Dave gets lifted up and he disappears behind a cloud. And he says, "I'll be back." We'd all be pretty amazed. And then if all these people said, "Did that happen in your church?" We'd be like, "Yeah, it would. Why? Don't ask me any questions because I'm really confused. I really don't know." But Peter stood up. Peter stood up when they were being mocked. See, these days it's okay to say, "I identify as a cat. I identify as a this or that. I identify as a bar stool." But if you identify as a Christian, you get mocked. Hey, Peters, stand up. Stand up. Stop sitting down. Stand up and say hallelujah. Stand up and say God be praised. Stand up and identify yourself. Don't be afraid anymore. This year has to be different. No more wusses. No more weak, elbow patch wearing, beige cardigan, mediocre. Right? Tough. We're tough Christians. We're in a war. It's a spiritual war, by the way. And unless you stand up and say which side you're on, then you get a different outcome. Peter had every reason to stay sitting down. But he didn't. He stood. So here's number one. It's a 5-point sermon. I haven't done a 5-point sermon in like forever. So there's 5 points in this one. Point number one is stick together. But before I go into my point, I'm going to show you a 3-minute and 42-second video. And I want you to watch it and see what you can take out of it. Is that okay? Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
Your voice makes a difference. And if you don't believe that, I want to leave you with one last story. When I ran for the presidency, I'd fly down to South Carolina. Alarm goes off, and I feel terrible. I am exhausted. Think I'm coming down with a cold. I open up the curtains. It's pouring down rain outside. Pouring down rain. Horrible day. I get the newspaper outside my door, and there's a bad story about me in the New York Times. I get dressed, shave, walk out. My umbrella blows open. That ever happened to you? And I get soaked. Soaked. I'm just soaked. I get in the car. I said, "All right, how long is it going to take to Greenwood?" "An hour and a half." Finally, I get out and I walk in, and there are like 15, 20 people there. And I will tell you, they didn't look any happier to see me than I did to see them. And so I go around the room and I say, "How do you do? What do you do?" But they're not really feeling it right now. And suddenly I hear this voice from the back just shout, "Fired up!" And everybody in the room says, "Fired up." And then I hear the voice say, "Ready to go." And everybody in the room says, "Ready to go." And I don't know what's going on. I think these people are crazy. Maybe I shouldn't have come here. And then I look in the back of the room. And there's this middle-aged woman. She's got a big church hat. And she got, I think, a gold tooth. Turns out, she holds a position in the local NAACP office. And also, I'm not kidding you, is a private detective. This is a true story. She's like a private eye. Although it's hard to think that you wouldn't see her coming. She's very colorful. And she is known wherever she goes by saying this chant, "Fired up, ready to go." And every meeting she goes to, she does this thing. But the interesting thing is, after a while, I'm starting to get kind of fired up. I'm starting to feel like I'm ready to go. And all those all those negative thoughts and all those bad memories start kind of drifting away. And it just goes to show you how one voice can change a room. And if it can change a room, it can change a city. And if it can change a city, it can change a state. And if it can change a state, it can change a nation. And if it can change a nation, it can change the world. So I just have one question for you. Are you fired up? Ready to go?
If we can't in this room encourage one another, how are we going to do it out in the world? If we can't unashamedly shout hallelujah in this room, how can we do it out in the street? So hallelujah. And it doesn't matter what other people say or think about you. It doesn't matter because we've got God on our side, right? If we can have this one person say fired up and ready to go, and that became Barack Obama's whole thing in America, and it was his whole marketing thing, and he was known for it and so on. And you know, in a previous role that I had with a previous company that I was with, we had it as one of our kickoffs, and it's sort of like it drove us for the year. And you know, anytime we saw our managing director, she'd go, "Hey, you're fired up," and we'd go, "Hey, I'm ready to go." And it was great. It kept us going. But you know what? As Christians, we're not great at doing that. We're really, really great though at telling each other our sob stories. We're really, really great at telling each other, "Oh, I've had a bad week and I worked too many hours and this is going wrong and that's going wrong and I've got all this." Stop it this year. Just stop it. We've got to talk about, as iron sharpens iron, let's talk about all the great things God is doing in our life. Let's collect testimony this year. Because then we'll be able to shout hallelujah and mean it. I heard a testimony this morning from my friend. Last week, my new friend here was telling me about an illness that she has. And I prayed with her and I said, "You know what? There's something in the way." And I don't know what it was. I met this person for the first time last week. I said, "There's something in the way and I think it might be unforgiveness." And then I met her this morning again in church this morning, and her other friend who she was with said, "Well, go ahead, tell him what happened." And I said, "Well, I want to hear this story." And this person, she went to a friend where there was the unforgiveness, and she resolved that. And then as a result of that, the illness that she's got has reduced, and the doctors have told her that it's getting better, or there's less of it, and it's going away because the power of the Holy Spirit has intervened, right? And we're going to talk about today how we can make room for the Holy Spirit in your life as well to do the stuff that the Holy Spirit wants to do so that you can get the heck out of the way of what God wants to do. Does anyone want that for their year this year? Does anyone want to be a walking, talking testimony for what God can do in their lives? Does anyone want to be healed this year of stuff that's just been hanging around forever? Are you guys sick and tired of the same old stuff? Because if you're sick and tired of the same old stuff, stop talking about it. Start talking about what God is going to do in your life this year. Start to prophesy over yourself. Start to talk about the glory of God, because you've heard me say about how these seats are going to be filled and how there's going to be 1,000 people in here. A sob story doesn't attract people to you, and it doesn't attract people to God, and it doesn't attract people to the power of the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't attract people to the resurrected God. Amen? So what does? What does is the good news. Who is the good news? Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the gospel. The words on the page aren't the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. And when you attract people by the story of your life into what Jesus is doing in your life, I'm getting fired up here. I don't know if you can tell. Are you getting fired up by any of this? Because I want you to be able to get some of this into your life and start to talk about it like this during the week as well. This isn't a Sunday thing. This is an everyday thing. Sunday's where we get together and go, "Oh, I can't wait to see Julie. I can't wait to see her because I'm going to tell her some stories that happened to me this week. And God is so good. And she's going to bring 3 people along to go, 'You got to meet Grant because he's got some good things going on in his life that God's doing.' And I can't, Tanika, she's got some great stuff and she's got some stories and Peter's got some stories. And we've all got some stories of what God's doing in our life." Not the sob stories. The sob stories is where you are on your knees, wearing out pairs of pants because you're praying so much. Because I was going to do a sermon on the power of prayer today, but I got that parked for another week. You better turn up when I'm doing that sermon, because the power of prayer, you're just going to knock your socks off that one. And you guys are going to be sitting there saying amen and hallelujah, because I won't be teaching you. You'll just be agreeing with me. You'll be saying, yeah, me too. So we've got to stick together. That was point number one. Because at the start of Acts 2, the disciples were all together in one place. I don't know about you, but I've had the Don McLean song stuck in my head all week as I've been writing this sermon. And there they were all in one place, a generation lost. Okay, it's from that song. Why is it important we gather together? Because the quality of your life depends on it. The quality of your life depends on, is determined by the quality of the people you associate with, the quality of the thoughts you have, and the quality of the information you take in on a consistent basis. That is why we stick together. That is why iron sharpens iron. If you hang out with five losers, you'll be the sixth. If you hang out with five negative people, you'll be the sixth. You hang out with five broke people, you'll be the sixth. You hang out with five criminals, you'll be the sixth. You hang out with five drug addicts, you'll be the sixth. You hang out with five alcoholics, you'll be the sixth. You hang out with five Christians, you'll be the sixth. You hang out with five people who love God with all their heart and all their mind and all their body and all their everything, you'll be the sixth. We become who we hang around. Amen? Number two, stand up. I've touched on this a little bit. Oh no, you don't have to stand up. Sorry, Carla. Sorry, I forgot there's literal people here. Carla's like, what now? I just got comfortable. No, that was my point, is stand up. Peter stood up when he could have stayed sitting down. In your Christian life, are you the thermometer or the thermostat? Are you the thermometer or the thermostat? See, the thermometer gets affected by stuff. The thermostat sets the tone for stuff. So in my life, I'm a manager of people. Right, I've got a small team. I've got two business development managers down south and a business development manager up north. These people answer to me in business. I'm a senior leader in a multi-million dollar business that's not all that exciting, but all these people have to do what I say, right? Or they don't have to, but they do because I'm kind and I give them a chance, right? But there's one thing I don't stand for: blasphemy in the workplace. Blasphemy, I won't stand for it. I won't allow it. And they all know it. So what does everyone know then about me? Well, he must be a Christian. So what do they look for? They look for kindness. They look for passion. They look for patience. They look for joy. They look for humility. They look for all of the characteristics of a Christian because they know I am one. And the only, I don't have crucifixes hanging on my wall. I don't wear my Jesus t-shirt to work. We have a uniform. I don't wear a cross around my neck. I've got a crucifix tattoo somewhere. I've got the Holy Spirit tattoo somewhere, the Sacred Heart from my Catholic days. But they don't see the symbolism. They see the character. See, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And it's not very attractive to people unless you stand up and say, hey, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. So, and I've shared from the front here before, when I was a little boy, when I was 7 years old, my biggest fear in life as a seven-year-old boy was that one day when I was a man, someone would have a gun to my head and tell me that if I didn't deny Christ, then they'd shoot me in the head. That was my fear as a seven-year-old child. Brought up in a Catholic household, I understood God, I understood Jesus, I understood a bit about faith. But this is my fear. And now as I grow as a man, as a 30-something-year-old with 20 years' experience, don't get ahead of me, 31 with 20 years' experience, thank you, Carla, do the maths. That could be a reality one day. But I'm not afraid because I'm standing with my mates. I'm with my friends. I'm with my family. I'm not worried. Because I know that when I stand up, y'all are going to stand up with me, right? And we're better together. And as we grow together, and as we grow larger as a body together, we'll be even better. So ask yourself the question during the week, Are you the thermostat or the thermometer? Do you set the tone or do you get affected by stuff? Is your faith determining your outcomes or are your outcomes determining your faith? I don't know. That's a real question for someone. Point three, make room for the Holy Spirit. I had to edit this. I was sharing with my daughter yesterday what I had written, so I edited it this morning. Some people are so full of their own story. Some people are so full of their well-rehearsed, well-tailored, well-edited narrative of their life. Oh, that would never happen to me because of this. Be careful of the word because. Be careful of the word because. I'm going to say it again. Be careful of the word because. The Bible says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to God's plans for your life. He didn't put because in it. You did. I can't do this because, look, as a kid, I didn't have an easy life either, all right? I had tough times. My dad had PTSD from being held up at gunpoint 3 times as a bank manager. He brought that home with him. I love my dad. Dad, if you're watching, it's not your fault. But there was tough stuff. My sister was born with a really bad handicap. She was born with spina bifida. And it was tough stuff in life. We didn't have a lot of money. While my friends were getting Mongoose BMX bikes, I got a big W BMX bike. You know, like, I was bullied for stuff. You know, everyone's got their story, but it's not a because. It's not a because. The only because is because of Jesus. The only because is because of the resurrected Jesus. The only because that's in our lives right now is because of what he's doing for us, because of the Holy Spirit. So if you've got story in your life, get vomited out, get rid of it, and make room for the Holy Spirit. Because you are the only one that is stopping the Holy Spirit working in your life. You're the only one. I gave testimony of this before from a friend of mine who I've just met a few weeks ago, here, in this room right now, who did something so courageous when she went to her friend and said, let's resolve this thing. And the Holy Spirit came and went, boom, you want me to heal you? I'll heal you. But couldn't have done it when there was the stuff there because it was in the way because the Holy Spirit can't be present in that stuff. Amen? Are we going okay today? Are you guys fired up? Are you guys getting ready to go?
Yes.
Are you fired up?
Yes.
Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Can we get an hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We used to have a lady in our church who, I can't remember, what was her name? Can anyone remember? She left her, went somewhere else a while ago, but she would sit at the back and go, hallelujah. I miss her. Someone else be that person for me, because that was awesome. That was so good. She was terrific. Number four in the time I have left. I don't mind, Kerry, I don't mind if you come back up and play keys. I'll feel like TD Jakes again. It was awesome. Number four, be expectant. Be expectant. Don't be the it won't happen to me person. Don't be the I don't deserve it person. Don't be the, oh yeah, I'm not worthy. You are. Don't make a mockery of the crucifixion. Don't make a mockery of the resurrection. Because Jesus died for you. Jesus didn't look and go, oh, well,
they haven't done what I asked.
See, there was 3 people crucified. There was Jesus and there was 2 bad guys. And 1 bad guy on one side was going, well, who do you think you are? And the guy on the other side says, shut up, mate. He is who he says he is. And Jesus didn't say to him,
well, when you get down from the cross, I need you to be baptized, and then you've got to do a discipleship course, and then I need you to...
No, he just says, surely I'll see you today with my Father in heaven. He didn't have to... He said, you're worthy. I don't know what happened to the other guy, but I reckon he was probably there too. Because he maybe came to his senses at the last minute when, oh yeah, me too. There's nothing that you've done that disqualifies you from the blessing. Nothing. If you think there is, you're being silly. Stop it. There's nothing you've done that can disqualify you from
being expectant for that miracle in your life. Jesus said, he said to his disciples, you're going to do greater miracles than me. And there were so many, according to the book of John, that if they were all written down, they'd fill all the libraries on earth. There were so many of them, but you can do better. You can do greater because you can bring the power of the Holy Spirit into your world and into your life. And as you pray for other people and you bring other people into the presence of the Holy Spirit as well, you're going to see so many miracles, unless you don't want it. Unless you just like to turn up on a Sunday and go, oh, well, I get some free bread. Come on. This year is going to be a huge year. You've got to be expectant for it. Is it just me who's expectant? We've got to do it together. So if you're surrounded by evidence of disappointment, you are not a tree. Go get another group of friends. You know what I'm saying? If you're surrounded, if your work, yeah, not you guys, you have to say. You're not a tree. If you got a job that just sucks the life out of you, go get another one. Your job's not your identity. I'm an accountant. No, you're not. You're human. I've had 3 jobs in the last 3 years. Do you know, I felt like an absolute loser. I was self-employed 15 years. I was made redundant from a role. I had 3, I probably had 5 jobs, truth be told, but I had 3 proper jobs in the last 3 years. I'm like, I'm such a loser. Can't hold down a job. I could hold down a job. I just hated them. So I went to another one. That was a bit better for a while. And then I went to the next one. That was a bit better for a while. And now I'm in this great job that I absolutely love. I doubt my boss is watching, but hi, Terry, if you are. But I'm not my job. I'm Grant. I belong to Jesus. That's it. Right? I take me, property of Jesus Christ. Should have that tattooed on my... Write that one down, Toddy. Have that one tattooed. Property of Jesus. Maybe have it on my foot like Andy from Toy Story. Oh, that'd hurt. But be expectant. If you're afraid of receiving the Holy Spirit, if you're afraid, if you're like, oh no, I don't want to fall over at the front, lie down on the ground, I'm worried about that. Don't worry about that. Here's what you'll receive, right? Here's your going away gift from the Holy Spirit. It's from Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Anyone want that? Anyone doesn't want love? Okay, good. Joy. More of that, please. Peace. Forbearance. Now, personally, I don't have enough forbearance. I had to look it up this morning what it meant. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, Selah, and self-control. Against all these things, there's no law, it says. If you want to call on the name of the Lord and receive those things, nobody here is going to think you're weird. Nobody out there in the world is going to think that's strange. In fact, I would say this, most people are looking for those things. Amen? Most people are looking for love, but maybe in all the wrong places. Everyone has that hole that they need filled, but they're filling it with the wrong stuff. But all you Peters, you're a Peter, all you Peters here who are going to stand up during the week and say, well, actually, I know a ghost. I know a ghost, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost can give you all of these things. Do you want to have a conversation about that? I can't wait to see what happens in your life as you do what happened on that day of Pentecost. And it's not just a Sunday thing. So here's my last point as I finish up. And I'll get probably the rest of the band, maybe. I don't know how you want to do it. I don't mind how you want to do it. During the week, Gaynor and I watched a video. I can't remember the name of the song, but it's
holy, holy, worthy is the Lamb, holy, holy. And it was a massive Christian conference and everyone was singing it. And then the band stopped. Oh, and the people kept singing it. And it went for about 37 minutes, I think. This free worship, and it was just so beautiful. And all these people were just saying, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy, holy. And they were singing it, and they were falling to their knees, and they were falling to their faces, because their words went into their own hearts, and they prophesied over themselves first, and they prepared their own hearts with those words, with the truth of who God is. So when we worship in a minute, I don't know what you want to sing. These guys are amazing. But when we're singing in a moment, please do the things that we've spoken about today and make room for the Holy Spirit, please. And if you want prayer, I'm going to get you to come forward. Because the last thing in Acts 2 says, and everyone who called on the name of the Lord was saved. Church, listen to me. Listen. Call on His name. And all the stuff in your life will go. It's uncomplicated. If you can't, sometimes I have trouble sleeping at night because I'm worried, I'm work, got to do this, new staff, man, how's the training going? Are we making budget? I've got to do this. Oh, that's right, I haven't spoken to this. It's all in my head, right? And I can't sleep because the old necktop computer is whirring away. That's that 6 kilo weight that sits on your shoulders, the necktop computer. So, Jesus. Oh, holy, love you, God. I worship you, God. Praise you, God. You're so good. You're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because peace. There's peace in His presence. So as we worship in a minute, and as we stand, I just want you to feel that peace. And then, if there's anyone that wants to make a decision today to follow Jesus, to call on His name for the first time, we're going to come back up after a bit of praise and worship, and we're just going to pray a prayer together. That's an invitation for anyone here who wants to either follow Jesus for the very first time in their life and make a decision to become a Christian, or for anyone who wants to rekindle their relationship with Jesus today and actually give Him a chance to see what's different. So let's stand and let's worship together.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again.
Hallelujah. God, we love you so much.
And I ask you now, Lord, to just be with us. I'm going to pray a prayer, and some preachers do it with a call and response, but I don't. I just want to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray it along with me in your hearts. And if it is a prayer that you pray for the first time in your heart, or a prayer that you're renewing your relationship with Jesus Christ today, what I want you to do, instead of just slipping your hand up, I actually want you to come forward and do what Peter did and actually stand up for yourself in your life. Yeah? So if that's you, let's pray. Father God, we love you so much, and we're so sorry for our sin that the Bible calls separation from you, where we've separated ourselves. I've separated myself from you. God, you know my heart. And right now, in the presence of everyone here, I make a decision to turn around. The Bible calls that repentance, to turn around and get closer to you, to rebuild my relationship with you, to choose you as my Lord and as my Savior. And as I do that, I know that you meet me and that our worlds collide, and that every day from now on will be different and better. And I choose to follow you. I choose to live a Christian life. And for the rest of us right now, I want us to, we're going to continue to praise and worship. And if anyone wants to come forward for prayer, if you made that decision for the first time, this is about being bold Christians. There's no more mucking around. For the rest of us here today, I pray right now that you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is gentle. Like a tongue of fire has no weight. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you into people's lives here today. There's people right now praying in their minds and praying in their hearts. And there's confused minds here too. I pray for clarity in people's hearts and clarity in people's minds as you rest on them gently like a dove right now, that the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon people here in this place and online as well. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Have your way with us. We'll close this service now. And for anyone who would love to come forward for prayer, or you can just turn to the person next to you and ask for prayer if you want. But there's something powerful about a declaration with your body as well. If that's you, we're here for you. Thank you for being here today. Let's praise and worship again together. God bless you. God bless you.
Come on, my soul. So come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those arms. Get up. Except for